Loveline starts now.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. In studio tonight, Taylor Hawkins from the Foo Fighters. That's where you know him from. Also, Chris Chaney, and they are from Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders. Gentlemen, thank you for coming in.
Howdy.
They're in the middle of a tour. They are everywhere, so if you're listening to this show, you're undoubtedly going to see them in your city soon enough. Next month, Atlanta, Washington, Philadelphia, Toronto, New York, Boston, Chicago, Minneapolis. Did I miss anything?
Well, you know, we're just trying to hit
every city in the United States.
Everyone we can in between what we do otherwise.
Good to see you guys. I think Taylor, I ran into you guys on the street in New York a couple months ago.
Panhandling.
Was I panhandling? Were you?
No, I was.
You were panhandling.
Yeah.
That was weird. I was like, so you know, you see people out of context, you think, wait, we know each other. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That happens in New York a lot, actually.
Yeah, I bet.
I've ran into a lot of random people that you would have never thought.
Kids from high school.
High school.
Way back.
Right.
Yeah,
and you're like,
it's because everyone's on the street
and
looking around.
Everybody's walking.
So tell me about the band.
Well, you know, it started out as a little project of just, actually didn't even start out as anything. I was just doing demos at a friend of mine, Drew's house, but it's a different Drew.
Different Drew.
And you never invited me to your house, Drew, so.
Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, so we were doing demos there, just another round of demos that I've just been messing around with for 20 years. I've always kind of tried to write songs. And they started, you know, having a life, you know, like a sound to it, instead of just being random things here and there. It had a vibe or whatever. So halfway through that, we decided, well, you know, maybe we should make a record. And, well, maybe we should go somewhere to really make a record. And then we said, well, you know, screw it. This record sounds cool. It's kind of indie sounding or whatever.
Was I reading that? That was the point you said, call Chaney.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the thing. And then this guitar player who lived in my friend Hester's house, who has since got married and lives in a condo in Burbank.
Nice. That was the best.
Gannon. He lived there, and he played all the guitar, and he was just doing bass on everything, too, because most guitar players can kind of handle the bass, you know? It's basically a guitar with two less strings.
No, yeah, I know. I'm demoted. Hey, what can I say?
But then I said, I know this guy, and, you know, he's actually probably one of the best bass players in the world.
Hardly.
So, come on, bud.
Well, it's such an easy instrument. Who couldn't?
I know.
Exactly. It's four strings. He takes it really seriously, though.
Can you imagine
really
that?
Proud
weird,
of him.
Huh? Weird.
Well, you know,
it's better than actually, it's not better than beating animal skin for a living. But
he takes it. Yeah, exactly. I hit things for a living. So when I called Chaney, I said, "Dude, come over." And he did like the whole. You know, we'd recorded the album basically, and I just said, "Redo all the bass," and he did it all in like 45 minutes.
Wow,
the length of
lies.
The album live. No,
and
not live.
Stuck
live.
On tour with him ever since.
Oh, God.
Paying dearly for his era in judgment of answering his phone that day.
That's right. This is one of the best tours, though. We just did 2 weeks, and it was literally as down and dirty as you can go.
Chaney,
you could go lower.
Chaney actually carried his own amp at one point.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I have one of your valets do it. First song is going to be Louise. We're going to hear that in a few minutes, but first we're going to go to calls. All right, guys, you ready for this? You're both veterans of the show. You know how this works. It's Danielle, what's up? Danielle? See, this is how it starts.
Danielle.
There you are. Let's try that again. Danielle?
Hello?
There you are. You're with Taylor Hawkins and Chris Chaney. What's happening?
Hey, what's up?
What up, girl?
Yeah, I had a question.
This is where you ask it. That's good. Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah. I'm nervous, sorry.
It's only like 3 trillion people listening right now. Don't be nervous.
That helps.
Sorry.
I can't tell the difference between when I'm, like, when me and my boyfriend are having sex. I can't tell the difference between if I'm coming or if I'm going to have an orgasm. Because it...
How do you distinguish... What is the difference between those two words? I didn't know there was a difference.
Yeah. Same thing, huh?
An orgasm, I guess it's like a lot more extreme than just getting off.
Mm. No. An orgasm and coming, that's one, coming is a description of an orgasm.
Yeah.
Oh, it is?
So, what is the problem here? What are you experiencing?
But if you want to make your boyfriend really happy, just lie every time and tell him you came every time.
Multiple times.
Maybe there's just different plateaus you're hitting.
Yeah.
You know, holding out for days and then hitting it every day.
Are you actually having orgasms, do you think?
I think I am, but I come a lot throughout the whole time that we're in the intercourse. I come a lot. And
what does that mean?
I don't really feel the fact that I'm coming. I just feel like when I actually do feel like I'm coming, wow.
All right, so that's good. That's the orgasm part. The rest of it is just arousal. Okay?
I have a question.
Yeah.
How old are you?
Taylor has a hand up. He's raising his hand. She's old enough to ask the kind of question. She's 25.
Oh, you're 25?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Is that all right? No, she sounds 14. She's 25.
Yeah. You have a young voice.
Sorry.
I have an old voice, as you can hear.
All right, that about do it? That's all you want to talk about?
Yeah, that's about it, yeah.
Okay, just you're normal, everything's fine. The actual thing that peak you have at the end, that's the orgasm. The rest of it is just arousal, okay?
Oh,
as
okay.
Chris Cheney would say, different plateaus. Yeah, go ahead.
Like, when, sometimes when we do, it, like, if we get rough or something, it hurts. And sometimes when, like, after a couple of days, when we do it, it does hurt. But I recently started my period, and my mom thinks I have a cyst because I was in so much pain.
What do you do for a living?
I'm basically looking for a job right now.
Well, right
so
now.
You have a lot of time to have sex, basically.
Well, no, that I mean, you seem like, you know, you have the sort of level of sophistication, you'll pardon me, of about a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
Your body's sort of a mystery, and these things are happening to you. And when people, you know, use my body like a punching bag, it hurts, and I'm surprised that hurts. Come on. He's too rough. You're near the viscera in there when he's entering you, and yes, you can have cysts and endometriosis and uterine infection, inflammation. All those things can cause pain. And just the normal viscera, you hit it too hard, it's going to hurt. Okay?
Tell him to cool down.
Yeah, I think so. I think I've had enough.
Respect the woman.
All right, let's talk to, oh, my God.
I don't think she was 25, dude.
She didn't sound, I got to
no, tell. She was not 25, 15. Dude.
James, what's up there?
Hello?
Hey, what's happening, James?
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
You're on with Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders. By the way, Cheney, what does it feel like to be a Coattail Rider?
No, I'm a Coattail Rider, too.
Yeah, whatever.
No, let's make this, this perfectly clear. James, hold on one sec. Sorry, bud. Originally, it was just called the Coattail Riders, and then for some reason, unbeknownst to me, because the record company thought, like, I have a big name.
He's got more star power.
I truly don't. They said, you should call it Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders. We argued about it for a while. They're listening right now going, oh, are you throwing us under the bus again?
No, that's good.
But that's their job, you know, to get thrown under the bus. So I said no and yes, and they went yes and no. And finally I said, okay.
Got it. Not your fault.
No.
All right. James.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, not much. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, the question I had is, one of my buddies is, like, one of my good friends is going out with this stripper now for, like, 4 months.
Yeah, he's killing it.
And I've been, like, watching him, and he just moved in with her, like, last week. And
chaos.
She's paying the rent, too, I bet.
Yeah, I listen to what you say, though, and I try to tell them, like, they're not, like, really, like, good, settled-down girlfriend material, you know?
Go ahead.
A little bit of therapy.
Right, a little bit of treatment and a little bit. I mean, they're not bad people. I mean, I wouldn't say they're just not making healthy choices at the time. And well, they can be bad people, too. But for the most part, they're people that are really lost and have sort of gotten into something that feels good to them and sort of an expedient way of making money. But they hate men. They end up hating men for participating with them in all this, and they feel have lots of very intense feelings about men and sex, and it takes them quite a while to sort of undo that.
Yeah, she's not, like, in it right now, but she wants to get back into it. Like,
yeah, see, if she can stay out of it and have a normal life, you know, and have a normal relationship and have a stable existence, it can be okay, but she has to be able to do that. It's like an addiction in many cases.
I suppose it'd be almost be like being a drug dealer. In a way, just because the money.
Drugs. But,
no,
yeah, yeah.
The
both.
Money, like, you know.
More like a drug dealer who used drugs.
Yes.
Both.
Well, most strippers use drugs.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I mean, not just the drug part, but I mean, just the fact that they get gratified by actually stripping it beyond the money in a strange way. It upsets them and gratifies them at the same time.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, I mean, it's not a, you're right, Jim. Not a great thing for your buddy, but...
We're going to have some strippers want to kick our butts, dude.
Oh, they're good calls.
You better cool this down a little bit right now.
Yeah. Oh, you have a stripper friend?
No.
Do you, dude?
No.
All right.
No, wait, again, not saying they're bad.
His name's Chuck. Come on, tell him.
That's the point. There. You can go ahead.
See.
Feel comfortable now?
That really brought me... even keeled. I'm loving that.
Thank you. Rock stars don't hang out in strip clubs, do they?
Never.
No, you guys have never been to one of those.
Nope.
No, I didn't figure that out.
I'm married now, dude.
Oh, is that right?
I'm married with children.
Oh, good. You guys are old.
Is that you, Rick?
Not me. That's Anderson at the other end.
Oh.
Back in Culver City where you last visited us. So.
Wow.
All right, James, there you go, buddy. Is that it?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Good luck then to your buddy. He'll learn. Let people live out their lives. They'll figure stuff out.
Yeah.
Tyler.
Yeah.
What's happening?
I got a question about hepatitis B. I started seeing a guy a couple weeks ago, and we just talked the first night we met, and things got kind of hot and heavy, and then we decided...
You're gay.
Yeah, obviously. and decided we're going to take things slow, but the other night we started to get into it, and he's like, I want to talk to you about something. And I was like, okay. And told me he had hepatitis B, and that, but he no longer has it. And
I was, why would he feel the need to sit you down seriously and tell you about something that he no longer had?
Well, yeah, that's my question. Is like, I thought hepatitis B was a virus, and that like one, it was, once you had it, the viruses, you couldn't not have them anymore. Like, you wouldn't react to them, but you still always had them.
No. I mean, it's like a cold, right? You can have a cold virus, and then it goes away, and then you retain a memory of the virus, and that makes you immune to the virus.
Yeah.
That's how that works. Well, now, different than a chronic viral infection, which is what hepatitis B can become. And if he has chronic viral hepatitis, he's already infected you, probably. If you've had, have you had sex with him?
No. We stopped before that because he felt compelled to tell me about this.
So he must still have chronic viral hepatitis.
What do you get that from?
From having sex, IV drugs and gay. That's okay. Sort of the typical, those are the most common routes of transmission. Now, here's the deal, Tyler. Gay men should be getting the hepatitis B vaccine. Why haven't you had that?
Well, I've only been out for about 10 months now.
The vaccine? Oh, you've been out as a gay guy. Well, good. Well, but... Yeah. But talk to your doctor. You got to get that vaccine right away. It's a 3-part vaccine. It takes 6 months to build up the immunity. So let's go.
Better stick to hand jobs for a while.
And by the way, if he has B, he may have C also, and that there is no vaccine against just yet. All right.
He's told me that he's been tested several times, and it doesn't show up on the test anymore. And so does that mean it's chronic or not?
If he, whatever he's telling you, maybe he doesn't understand what you're telling you. If he has something called persistent hepatitis B surface antigen. Surface antigen persistence is what is indicative of the viral infection. If he doesn't have that, then he's cleared it for the most part. All right?
Gotcha.
All right. That's it for Tyler. Eric, what's happening?
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Guess how old Eric is.
Say hi. I'm Eric, real quick, bud.
Why now?
Oh, now the mic's out. Say it again, Eric.
Hello?
No, okay.
All right, Eric, ask your question. Ask your question, then you'll give us your age. Eric.
Hello?
Eric, will you please ask your question, or we're going to hang up on you.
Put the bong down and ask the question.
Oh, what's a chili dog?
Gentlemen?
Chili dog?
Chili chicken cheeseburger with bacon. I don't know.
Is that like some sex thing?
Yeah.
I've been out of the game for a while. I'm married.
What's that, Eric?
It's, my friend told me that it was like a sex position, but like he said something about using like crap as a lube.
Crap?
Oh.
Chili.
No.
That's solid. The chili dog. Babe, tonight we're doing the chili dog.
I'm just saying, Eric, I'm just never cease to be amazed by the stuff that people dream up and the names they give them. But, yeah, we get it. Is that what that is? We've never heard of it before. But we won't forget it soon.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Bye. That's your buddy. What's your buddy's name, by the way?
My buddy?
Yeah, I want to make sure we pay him his dues.
Oh, his name's Steve.
All Steve right. What?
Why?
Why?
Eric, do you smoke a lot of pot, buddy?
No, yes. No, I don't. I'm like,
no, yeah.
I don't do any drugs at all.
All right. All right, good. Let's keep it that way. So you can tell all your friends that are sitting around with you there trying to figure out what a chili dog is that I guess you're the expert, all right?
Okay.
It involves turds. That's all I know.
Clearly does. Kelly, what's happening?
Hey, man.
What's up?
Am I in the air?
You're on with Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders.
Hey, I'm from Dallas, and I just saw the guy's show. It was about 3 weeks ago.
Sweet.
And it was amazing. I just want to tell everybody they should go see him live. Band is great.
So you were one of those 50 people.
Hey, everybody was going crazy.
I know, dude. It was awesome.
Yeah,
it was so
great.
Much,
actually,
dude.
I saw you guys before, both with Alanis, and
wow, that
awesome,
was 11
rocking.
Years ago.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
That was 11 years ago.
We're wow. Old, dude.
What,
wow.
No,
well, thanks so much, dude.
Yeah, great. Love
if
that.
You guys wanna,
got it.
If anyone wants to know where the tour might be headed, check out TaylorHawkins.com. The website's got the tour dates and whatnot. Eric. Everyone's named Eric tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, what's happening?
Hey, nothing much. How's it going?
Good. This is where you speak.
What's that?
Go ahead.
Oh, all right. My question was, me and my girlfriend, she's 18 and I'm 22. We have a great sex life, except for there's two positions that sometimes when I thrust it in too hard, I don't know what it's hitting, but it gives her a really bad stomach ache.
I have a really big dick.
What, pray tell, it's...
No, I'm just wondering what's giving her the stomach ache. I feel bad for her sometimes because it really hurts. And
a
I'm
sharp jab.
What, I am tell, a big boy.
Are the positions that give her the problem?
All right. Yeah, because there's two, whatever, she's on top sometimes or else yeah. When I'm on top and there's a certain point and
what
it
else
just
is
makes...
There?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out.
You got to...
I'm wondering what I'm hitting. Or
yeah. You're hitting her cervix, basically.
And I'm going to use the fist stopper.
Oh, the grommet? The fist
yeah.
Grommet?
The fist grommet.
You're hitting the cervix, and that's normal to have pain when you're in that deep. You're hitting viscera, and
okay.
You're scrambling things a little bit. Now, having said that, that's a little bit of a glib answer because it could be that she has a sort of a retroverted uterus. There's a tilted uterus, sometimes call it, and it sort of straightens out when you hit it, and that can be uncomfortable.
Right.
You can get inflammation or infections of the uterus or the tube. You can get ovarian cyst, endometriosis. All this kind of stuff can cause inflammation and infection and make her prone to pain and tenderness in that area. So when was the last time she had a pelvic exam?
Not too long ago, actually. She's going in, yeah. I think, tomorrow or something.
All right, it's just, you know, it's just important to get it checked out, but it doesn't sound like anything particularly.
Have you ever measured your Johnson?
Yes.
And?
It's 6.5. That's what I'd... It's average or a little bit above, but that's...
Well,
it's
you better tell us what that is, because
yeah,
you guys
that?
Have all kinds of funny ideas about what that is.
Yeah.
What's that? What's
your average might be different
what's
than
the
my
actual measurement?
I think, I don't know when I heard it, but I thought the average was like 6 inches for like the main average of the guy.
Yeah, for the most part. It's about right. I mean, most guys are in the 5 to 7 range.
I must be rolling in a different average for sure then. I thought average was 10.
Sorry, you're just over 6, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Good times.
6.25.
All right, here's Paul. I think I'm just going to sit here and wait until people
yeah.
Find time. Paul.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, I got a hand job from this girl about a month ago, and ever since then I've been itching really bad.
You're gay.
And what?
Nothing. It's Anderson.
Yeah.
It's and Taylor Hawkins.
Well, I've seen 3 doctors, and none of them have been able to tell me what it might be. So I'm wondering what I might have.
It's unlikely that, listen.
There's no way.
Well, it's possible.
She had a handful of fleas.
Yeah, here's the deal, Paul. It's not as though 3 doctors actually examining you who can't tell you what you have, and me magically, with you just saying I itch, knowing exactly what you have. You know what
well,
I'm saying?
And you're good, Drew.
Right, I'm
there's
good, and
nothing,
itching is caused by hundreds
there.
And... What?
There's nothing there that's visible, so it's...
Whoa.
Maybe just like itching it, man. I mean, I always do.
It's true.
No, it's been really
my mom
bad.
Said I came out doing that.
Could it be sort of a psychological thing?
I don't think so. No, it's pretty bad.
There's nothing. Well, how could you be scratching it and there'd be nothing to see? I mean, things get irritated when you scratch it.
And this was a girl, right?
Yeah.
All right, good. Well, it's fine. Either way.
Okay.
Well, there's just no way to... I know you want to say. If you're seeing three people, go back to those doctors, tell them you're not satisfied.
Does she do, like, construction or anything like that, or...?
No.
Okay.
You're in, like, the realm of the unknown.
Like, get a chemical dermatitis or something on the penis, stuck spackle reaction or something. I don't know. But, Paul, look, no visible rash, pruritus or itching without anything else discernibly there. You got to wonder if there's something psychological going on. You just got to. So,
ow.
Melissa.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Melissa.
Please, Melissa.
Oh,
I miss you. Yeah.
There you go.
The Hotel Riders. What's up?
Okay. I'm wondering, I'm interested in these guys. Like, there's a couple of guys, and basically, you know, they want to hook up with me, but they only want to have sex, like, once or twice a month. So, you know, I know that they're guys. They're in their 20s. They're going elsewhere as well. Like, my preference is to be in a relationship, sleeping with at least only one person. You know what I mean?
Melissa,
but
what's the question? What's the question?
Basically, like, I have needs too. Is it okay to?
I'm really horny.
Is it okay? What?
Like, I don't want to be a whore, but is it okay to sleep around every once in a while?
How old is she?
22.
What year were you born?
What's that?
What year were you born?
What am I on? What?
What year were you born?
Oh, I was born in 83. My birthday is actually in, like, 15 days. Well, 13.
Why don't you find a sort of friends with benefit type person so you don't get an STD?
I've honestly been trying. I was engaged. Probably about, like...
Yeah, but getting engaged is not a friend with benefits.
No.
That's a relationship.
No. I know. That was, like, 2-3 years ago.
What happened to that relationship?
That we broke it off.
What happened to that?
You were engaged when you were 18?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What went wrong?
We moved out here together, me, him, and my mom, from New York. We moved out here to Arizona. And basically what wound up happening was I had to stay in New York to finish my semester of school. And so I was in New York from February to May, came out in May, and, like, he had been, like, trying to, like, sleep with the neighbor's daughter, and, like, I came out here, and, you know, sex life was great, everything like
that. Well, these are wonderful stories.
Well,
listen, I'm concerned, that you keep going for a-holes. You keep going for guys that aren't available, aren't into relationships, and if they are into a relationship, they're only into it insofar as they can get more beyond that relationship. So there's something going on. Where's your dad?
My dad's, like, kind of a deadbeat.
Yeah, and they've been out of your life your whole life pretty much?
No, well, he and my mom got divorced when I was really young, like 3 months old, and he was in my life constantly. But, like, the thing is, when I was a kid, I would go over and have, you know, visitations, everything like that. And he sexually abused me.
Okay. All right. Well, by the way.
For, like, 3 years, you know, I went to therapy,
All right. So he has screwed you up big time, right? Your dad has been a contributor to major, major trauma for you.
Yeah.
He's been unavailable. He's a deadbeat, and he sexually abused you. That's the kind of thing that needs years and years and years of treatment, you understand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
The last thing you should be worried about right now is what dude you're going to have regular sex with
all
the time.
Yeah, and it's also a recipe for sexual addiction, sexual compulsions. This need to have sex all the time is part of that sexual abuse history.
Okay.
So, and you may want to look into SA, Sexual Compulsions, Sex Addicts Anonymous, or get a therapist out there in Arizona, somebody you can sort of reflect things with, you know, sort of think things through with. All these things you think are good ideas may not be such great ideas for you.
And, you know, if you do start seeing somebody, why don't you not have sex with them for a while?
Yeah, see what happens.
Why don't you see if you can do that yourself?
See if you can have a relationship first.
Yeah.
And that's really what you're trying to avoid with all these guys is actual closeness and vulnerability. All right?
Okay, so basically I'm just putting out so that they... Well, like, stick around.
You're reenacting the trauma of your childhood. When things are horrifying to you as a kid, they're magically incredibly attractive when you're an adult. So sex with unavailable a-holes, abusive guys, that's appealing to you because that's what dad did to you. You need to break that cycle and be with regular guys, okay?
Okay.
But if you're attracted to a guy, be very careful. It's not likely to be a good guy.
Okay. My question to you is, though, like, I tried what you told me to do. I'm friends with this guy. I've known him for probably about 9 months. Like, we've never even kissed or anything like that, but we're really good friends. And I've liked him, and we've talked about this before, and... like, basically, like, he's my type, I'm his type, but at the same time, like, he's looking elsewhere, everywhere else except for at me. Like, is that something that I should address with him again, or?
Well, if you go to him and say, I want to be a friends with benefits and not have a relationship, suddenly he might be right there for you.
Yeah, you're fat.
He might be afraid of your desire to be in a relationship. And maybe he's not attracted to it. He might not be into it. Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here. Chris Chaney, Taylor Hawkins.
Thank you.
They are coming to a city near you. Check out taylorhawkins.com. We're going to hear Louise in the next after the next break, hopefully.
That's correct.
And call us, 1-800-LOVE-191. Give us a call. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders.
Howdy.
Chris Chaney, Taylor Hawkins in here with us. We're going to hear a song called Louise, but first we're going to take a quick call from Rowdy.
Rowdy.
Rowdy, that's speaking.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Are you Rowdy?
Hello?
Yeah, Rowdy.
Oh, hey. This is an honest question, so please don't think it's a joke. I have a fiance. I'm about to be married April 28th. And I also have a guy friend I've known for about 6 years. He's old enough to be my mom, to tell you the truth, but he's an older guy that I've been friends with, and he's gay. And I've been friends with him a long time platonically, and then maybe about 2 years ago, I used to go to his house, visit him, and he would just like to give me a BJ.
Hey there, fancy pants.
Okay, he just happened to do what? He just sort of fell his mouth. He tripped and he fell on your penis, or what? What happened?
Your pants happened to be open.
I mean, what do you mean he happened to do that?
No. Well, he didn't happen. He just, you know, I've been friends with him platonically for a long time, and so even before
had you guys been discussing this for a while before it actually happened?
I've been very open with him. I date exclusively girls. I'm not gay. I'm not even bi.
Were you guys in the mountains when it happened?
No, I'm in San Francisco.
Why did he say he was as old as his mom and not his dad? That was weird.
Well, because he happens to be the same age as my mom. I'm 26, and, you know, he's 46.
How old is your dad?
My dad, he's 56.
I see.
Well, let me ask you a question. Are you attracted to him?
Not absolutely at all. The only question I want to ask you is, does that constitute...
So how do you get a hard-on when he's giving you a BJ, dude?
Well, to be honest with you, sometimes I go and spend the night at his house, and then... And then, you know...
Do you look at, like, a stuff magazine while he's giving you the BJ or something like that?
No, if he touches me, it'll get up.
I'm very confused.
And how many years are you?
Yeah, how did this happen the first time? Had you guys been discussing it, and finally he convinced you to do it?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't even remember how it got started. But I go and
liar, whore, and you know it.
And have you been doing this previously with other men?
No, not since I was a little boy, like 10 years old. I'll tell you, doctor, I have been molested. I guess you can call it molested because I was about 10 years old.
Yeah.
And I used to be at this apartment complex I lived in, and it was the maintenance man, and I used to go in his house, and I would do things for him, and he'd do things for me, and he'd give me gifts. But that never screwed me up because I'm not bi and I'm not gay.
Yeah, I could tell it didn't screw up at all.
No, I really didn't.
No, yeah, I could tell. Rowdy, your fiance would be very disturbed by this.
Okay.
Very disturbed.
That's what I wanted to know. So then it does constitute, you know, she's only been my fiance since November. So prior to November, I mean, I didn't really feel guilty because but now I feel like because I'm going to be married in 3 weeks, I shouldn't do this anymore.
How do you define bisexuality if this is not bisexuality?
Being attracted to other men, and I am absolutely not attracted. I don't touch them. I don't do anything to them.
Most people would call bisexuality having sex with men and women.
Okay, well, then that's what I needed to straighten out with them.
And most men, gay men, have sex by having oral sex. That's really what they do.
And that's what he does with me. But I don't touch him. I don't kiss him. I don't do anything. I just let him.
I'm just saying, Rowdy, this is all.
So he's doing all the work then.
This is all residual of
he's
your.
He's getting the raw deal, really.
Yeah, this is all residual of your sexual abuse. And it really, it's sort of an interesting sort of.
Cleanup detail.
It's a primordium of all that in that you haven't really developed a sexual orientation towards men, yet it feels okay to have sex with men because those boundaries had been so badly violated when you were a kid. So, you know, you have to make a choice. If you're going to get married, you got to commit yourself to one person. And if you can do that, great. Let's get on with it. But if you are going to be bisexual, then it's bye-bye to heterosexuality, and on you go to non-monogamous relationships, which seems to be the road you're on.
Well, I appreciate your...
That's okay, man. Don't, you know.
You're 26.
It's okay, dude.
It doesn't mean there's something wrong with him, but it does create some chaos in relationships, and probably a lot of chaos inside him too, because he's confused by all this.
Sure,
like, mm-hmm. He's straightened it all out. He's decided it's a certain way. And, all right, well, whatever. It's good times. Good times, though, Rowdy. Let's hear a song. On that note,
thank you.
Tell us about Louise.
It's just the first song on the record. It's the one we decided was going to be the single.
All right, why don't you intro it?
What?
Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders. The song is called...
This is Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders. And you're listening to K-Rock Loveline. And this song is called The Weirs.
Woke up in my...
Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders. Taylor Hawkins, Chris Chaney here with us tonight. Awesome, guys.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So check out TaylorHawkins.com. You can find out when they're coming to your town. They'll be there soon, I guarantee it. And let's go back to phone calls. We're going to hear another song in about another half hour or so. In the meantime, we're going to talk to Jake. What's up, Jake?
Hey, Dr. Drew.
What's happening?
I had a question. My girlfriend and I, when we have sex, she likes to talk on her phone and, like...
My parents.
I don't know if it's a I guess it kind of gets her off in some way. Like,
who does she talk to?
Just anybody. Like, she don't tell them she don't tell them what we're doing, but she does talk, and it's just like,
it's kind of kinky.
Does she like having sex in public places, that sort of thing?
She tried, but I mean, I'm not really into it, you know.
But she's sort of exhibitionistic. She likes voyeurs. She likes people watching her or knowing that she's having sex, that sort of thing.
I feel like it's weird because, I mean, she's, like, called, like, her mom before.
You got to be kidding me.
She sounds hilarious.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
What happens to you during...
Like, I mean, it's just really weird knowing her mom's on the line. And, like, I go over and visit her and see her mom, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? You know, like, we were just talking on the phone a minute ago.
Oh.
Like,
that's awesome.
Oh, brutal.
So what do you think, dude? Are you not into it? You want to tell her that you're not into that? And
I mean, it ain't a big deal, but when she's calling her mom, I mean, it's just messed up, you know?
That's kind of
messed up. It is a big deal. So why don't you put your foot down a little bit?
No, I've tried, but she stopped for a while, and then she's kind of like somehow back into it.
Is she sitting there with you?
No, she's not here right now.
All right.
So,
what do you want to know, Jake? What do you want from us?
I mean, is that a bad, like...
Yeah, we consider it a bad thing.
Is her mom hot?
Thanks, Anderson.
If her mom's hot, it's okay.
No, I mean, I'd probably bang her, whatever, but she ain't like...
All right. Melissa.
I don't know if I bought that one.
No, I'm not.
I think that was BS.
I would agree. Melissa.
Yes.
What's happening?
Were we talking to you earlier, sweet Melissa?
No.
Different one, sorry.
Melissa. We only have Eric.
Oh, does mean there's more than one Melissa in the
only world. Eric and Melissa call the show tonight. What's up, Melissa?
Okay. Well, I was physically abused when I was a kid, and I was wondering if that has anything to do with when I meet a guy, I usually like to have sex with them first. Like, I don't...
I mean, like you, when you meet a guy, you want to just have sex with him right away?
Yeah.
Is this any guy or any guy that shows you interest or guys that you're just really into?
That shows me interest. Like, it doesn't... Like, one of the guys, I didn't even know his name. Like, I had no idea. We just had sex, and then eventually we figured out each other's names and got to know each other. But I don't know.
That's nice.
How often does this happen?
Recently it's been happening a lot.
Like what?
Like three other guys, four guys.
In a span of how many days?
How many hours?
Taylor Hawkins needs to use this tonight when he goes home.
In about a month.
So four guys a month. So it's a recent thing. It started happening all of a sudden, right?
Yeah.
How old are you, Melissa?
19.
Has anything else happened? Were you raped recently or anything of that sort?
No.
No breakup in a relationship? Anything sort of traumatized you lately?
Yeah.
What happened?
I was engaged and we broke up.
Okay. I've seen women do this, you know, particularly trauma survivors. They just sort of go through a phase after, which is very commonly after a rape, which is a different thing, but after a traumatic breakup, all of a sudden you just sort of it's halfway trying to make yourself feel better, halfway trying to punish yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have any sense where this is coming from?
No idea.
Have you thought about getting any therapy?
No.
You should.
Did he call it off, or did you call it off?
I did.
Because he was an idiot, right?
No, it wasn't that. It was just... I don't know.
So 19, to me, is too young to get engaged nowadays, anyways. The world's changed.
Melissa, let's hope this is just some sort of almost a post-traumatic stress reaction you're having been physically abused as a child.
Why don't you think she should talk to somebody?
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, but she sort of dismissed that. Like, no.
Yeah,
no way. I would urge you to sort of be quiet for a while. Spend time at home with friends, people that really care about you. Don't go out and party. Don't use arousal as a way of trying to get relief from how you're feeling right now.
Okay.
I think all of this is trying to regulate your feelings. You feel out of control. You feel hurt. You have all these feelings of coming up from having broken up with this relationship. And sex is not the answer. That's a very primitive way. That's the old part of your brain, the part of your brain that we share with, like, lizards and things, trying to desperately feel better. And don't use that. You're going to get pregnant, you're going to get STD, you're going to get beaten up or something. Something bad's going to happen, okay?
Okay.
Take it easy. What? You have more? Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
God, I just forgot it.
It's a two-parter.
You forgot it?
No. Okay, and then when the guy starts having interest in me and he wants to be with me, I shut off and stop the relationship.
Right, of course. You want that contact, but you don't want the closeness. Because
which is what happened when you
broke up.
When you broke up with the dude. Yeah.
You don't want it, you want to have control over that whole breakup process. You don't want to be vulnerable again. Don't get close to people right now. Just take it easy. Be with friends, okay?
Okay.
Or get a therapist, like Taylor said. Taylor Hawkins in the Coattail Riders. Taylor Hawkins,
I keep telling everybody to get therapy.
I know, it's so easy on this show because everybody almost needs therapy. And I have to really hold myself back from saying that because I know it's not realistic for a lot of people. But, you know, sometimes it's just, you know.
Well, I mean,
Better part of valor is just take it easy, keep important people around you, and just get through this period you're going through.
Right.
Some people are very sick and need help.
It's so different what women go through besides men.
They're very different. They're wired.
What is this?
Well, I'm just mean like, you know, like dudes like, and when they're young, just walk around trying to get laid all day long.
Dudes would love to be able to do what Melissa did with her primitive brain to feel better.
Doesn't
but they
work
can.
That way.
They can't. They go for it.
They would feel much better if they could do it rather than ambivalent about it.
They wouldn't be calling.
They wouldn't be calling. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be back with Taylor Hawkins and Chris Cheney after this. Buddy, 1-800-LOVE-191. You like this?
I don't know. It sounded like total like 70s, like KLOS rock to me.
It's all kind of thrown back, isn't
it? It's coming back.
That's Taylor Hawkins.
Mustache
Taylor Hawkins
rock.
And the Coattail Riders. Chris Cheney in here with us also. Got a few more minutes to make some calls here before we have to take another break. This is Shannon.
Hello, Dr.
Hey, buddy. What's happening, buddy?
Yeah, man. well, first off, I got to tell you, for about the past month and a half, maybe like 2 months or I don't know, like longer, I've been popping ecstasy like every day and like like probably like 6 to 8 of them a day. Then,
oh
like,
boy.
So you have no spinal cord juice left then?
I don't know, but like lately like I feel like I'm just like all like just soft. Like I don't know how to explain it. Like my muscles feel soft and like my insides like around my stomach.
Are you on it right now?
They feel like really mushy.
Well, you can have all kinds of bizarre perceptual changes on ecstasy because it damages your brain. And so your experience of yourself, your perceptions, your everything, your moods, everything can be permanently altered. And certainly for a while, they can be intensely altered.
What is ecstasy, Drew?
Well,
it's MDMA. Think of it as amphetamine that's been altered to give it hallucinogenic properties.
Shannon,
you can't do the F word on national radio. Sorry about that, buddy. But and I understand it's very alluring and it's a very powerful effect on you. But there's a strange way of thinking. And you know, Shannon's 18. They think, well, I don't really need my brain anyway. What's the big deal? I'm not going to be a mathematician. So what? They don't understand that your experience of life, how you feel moment to moment. I mean, everything is dependent on your brain's functioning. And he is, the mush is the brain, not so much his body and his perceptions. So, Shannon. Yeah.
So that spinal cord fluid is...
that spinal cord fluid, here's the great thing about ecstasy. Ecstasy is a neurotoxin. It will actually dissolve large areas of your brain.
Nice.
No doubt about it. And yet, in spite of that, people prefer or are more mortified by the idea that it takes the fluid out of the spinal column. You know what taking the fluid out of your spinal column does to you?
What?
Nothing.
Oh.
That's why doctors can do spinal taps and take the fluid out. It doesn't cause any problem. It's nothing. It means nothing. And in fact, the folklore behind that came from the fact that the original studies on MDMA were done in Texas, and when they were studying the ecstasy, they would do spinal taps and draw the fluid out of these patients and see what was going on. And they'd get spinal headaches and things like that, which are the result of the low fluid. But it doesn't do a damn thing to you. But the central nervous system damage is very significant. So, Shannon, I would suggest you get yourself to a hospital. That'd be my
really?
You're probably so dehydrated right now, too.
Who knows what's going on? But many people, most often when I see people that have been on these long runs of ecstasy, they end up in psychiatric hospitals. Because they start having panic attacks and agoraphobia, and the depressions become profound.
What if I just like don't stop doing it? Then what?
Then all of this will get worse. We'll get a lot.
You are
worse.
So 18.
So effing good though, bro. You just gotta keep it,
bro.
Yeah. All right then. Well, thanks, Dr. D.
Yeah, Shannon, I'm worried about you, buddy. This is not gonna be a good life. It's not gonna be good. I mean,
You gotta quit.
You'd be better
now,
off
dude.
Cutting your legs off. You'd have a better life. Denise.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Okay, I was in a relationship with this guy for 3 years, but during that time, I kind of fooled around with his mom one time.
Rad.
Hold on. Stop the presses.
That's a good one.
Denise, the 18-year-old Denise, fooled around with your boyfriend's mom, yes?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean fooled around?
Well, hold on. Denise, can you hold on? It's funny, but it's not.
All right.
Can you hold on for a second? We got to take a commercial break, so hang on here. We're going to get more into Denise and the boyfriend's mom. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. The guests are Taylor Hawkins, Chris Chaney. We'll be back with Denise and the crazy mom after this.
All right, whoa. Guys.
Everybody's love line. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders. Taylor Hawkins, Chris Chaney.
Who's that?
They're playing the air guitar.
Who?
Killers.
That was Killers? Yeah. Wow, they have slap bass in the Killers?
That's a record that came out like years ago. Like,
oh, is that right?
It's old now. That's like 2004.
Wow.
Angel.
Come on. I'm not hip.
What was that? Do that again, Anderson?
They're from Vegas.
They are.
Was he playing something for us?
Nice.
Yeah, he just said slap bass, so I played a little jump on.
No, that's not slap bass, dude. That's...
Well, it would have gotten there, but like, I didn't want to... He got up there eventually. I just didn't want to play the whole thing.
Seinfeld. That's slap bass.
Flea.
Exactly.
Fair enough. I'm anxious.
That's really important.
It's very important stuff. And I'm anxious to get on to Denise here and the crazy mom thing. Yeah. Okay, so Denise is 18. Denise?
Yes.
Okay. And she had an ex-boyfriend... And she, quote, messed around with the ex-boyfriend's mom when they were still dating. Correct?
Yes.
Tell us everything.
Huh?
Give us the dirt.
Tell us everything.
Okay. Well, me and his mom were really close. And I've always thought she was really pretty. No, we were really close because me and Danny, my ex, we had a hard time. Like, he would put me through so much crap. He had a short temper. He was always in trouble with the law. And it came to the point where I was, like, afraid to say anything to him or speak to him because I never knew if he was having a good day or not. So I was always talking to his mom, and we were, like, really close. And then one night I was babysitting for her, his younger sister, and his mom came home early, and we were sitting down talking, and then things just progressed from there. And?
What do you mean things progress? Was mom wasted?
What next?
All right. Was mom loaded?
No.
What, are you offended by that question? It's hard to imagine a mom messing around. And undoubtedly, her ex-husband, meaning Danny's father, must have been a piece of work.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was a colossal a-hole himself and probably in jail right about now.
Was their trailer next to your trailer?
No,
they're around the corner.
No, actually, he does live pretty far from my house, and they live in a nice part of town because she's a gynecologist.
Sounds like
wow.
No way.
That just doesn't add up.
Come on.
No, she's a gynecologist.
Is this true?
They have a big 3-story house, and see, I don't know. Like, I fell in love with this guy. It's just that, like, now I'm thinking about because she still wants to keep in contact with me. But, see, the last time I saw him was when he physically abused me, and that was it for me. I wasn't going to take him. So.
Oh, my God. We have just the greatest callers. Denise, no S words. No S bombs, no F bombs, okay? Please? Please. I understand you're dating the son of a gynecologist, and you learn to mind your P's and Q's here. Denise.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm kind of thinking about it, like talking to her again, but I think I might just be doing that just to try to get back at him more, because I know if he found out, that would really get him upset.
Now, let me ask you a question. You got together with her mom and whatever you guys did. So, do you like women? Or are you just messing around? Do you like her mom?
His mom.
One thing, I don't know, like, really... if I'm bi or not, because, like, for one thing, I noticed girls do turn me on. Like when we would watch porns or something, like, it was the chicks that would turn me on.
But a lot of women experience that. That doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah,
but
I've never had a relationship, and I've never thought of having a relationship with a girl.
How old is this woman? What did you do with the mom, though? Did you just kiss or what?
Nuh-uh. Actually, she went down on me and just rubbed up on each other, and that was about it.
Oh, okay, except for that.
Yeah, that was it.
Just that one time,
just though? Just nothing. Nothing much.
There was no dildos. There was nothing like that. It was just...
Nuh-uh.
Just tongues. Just
tongues. No, but...
Taylor, how dare you? How dare you, by the way?
Was she better at it than her son?
You know she was.
Yeah, actually, he doesn't like to do that.
Ah, that's a problem.
Well, why are you hanging out with this dude anyways? I mean, he's in jail. He's... You know, he beats up on you, and then he doesn't like to pleasure you, orally speaking.
Yeah, get rid of the guy for
that
sure.
That guy, yeah.
And this mom sounds like a total piece of work.
Yeah.
If she's gay, God bless her, that's fine. But for her to mess around with an 18-year-old, she's a practicing
Were you
physician.
18, or were you 17 at this point in time?
17.
Yeah, she could lose her license.
She could lose her house and
spend
some time in jail.
Reported for all that. And it's such a colossal boundary violation with the son. It's just very sick behavior. Yeah. So,
where do you guys live? Because I just, this didn't happen at my high school.
Didn't happen in Laguna Beach? I watch all those TV shows. It seems like that stuff's happening.
Oh, I know. There's something happening down there. I don't know what's going on.
All right, Denise, get away from all these people. This is a very sick organization there, that family. They just stay away from them, okay? Where's the dad again?
He, they don't even know. He left. He was a drunk and druggy, and he took off from that family, and nobody's heard from him in, like, 6 years.
Perfect. Good. That explains the son. That explains the mom a little bit, but not people you should be hanging out with. Really, it's going to mean chaos and trouble for you. What's your dad like?
He's... Exactly the way Danny is. I've noticed that.
All right. Well, let's break that. Let's break that cycle. You don't have to be with abusive criminals. Okay. It's not going to be a road to happiness for you. It's going to be a road to misery. And as I've said already once tonight, those things that were miserable and terrorizing as a childhood, in childhood, become profoundly attractive in your adult life. Don't go for those guys. Go for the ones that are not quite so attractive. Okay.
All right, and see, but it was hard, though, because even though we were only together for 3 years, I've known him for 12, and to me, he was like
a
friend, and...
Yeah, okay, he's a criminal.
Yeah, get away from
him. He's got real serious problems. His mom is really seriously troubled.
And you sound like you got a couple things you need to work out yourself.
Thank you. Casey.
Yeah.
What's happening?
I have a question about a woman's sex drive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 28 years old, and my sex drive is just getting worse and worse and worse. Like, as older as I get, the more I want sex, and it's starting to become a problem for me.
Why?
Well, because, like, in all my relationships, like, the last two relationships I've had, actually my current one and my last one, like, my boyfriends always make fun of me because I want sex all the time. And it makes me feel like I'm weird or something because...
I'm really horny.
Yeah. No, I'm not. No. are you there?
We're listening.
We're right here.
Okay. All ears.
Sorry.
Taylor's just supplementing the auditory experience with Stuff Magazine, though.
Yeah, well,
Taylor, I'm just saying.
I know. Maybe I should pay attention, huh?
You know, I don't have, like, any history of sexual abuse or anything. I'm a teacher. I'm a normal person.
I just wanted to get some dick.
What are we talking about here? I mean, describe what's going on back in the current relationship.
Like, well, I always want to have sex, and my boyfriend makes fun of me because I always...
What do you mean always want to have sex? Like once a day or five times a day? Yeah. What's the deal?
Well, if I can get it once a day, I'm stoked. But, you know, for some reason, all my boyfriends, you know, they're all potheads, boys. And, you know, their sex drive is way lower compared to mine. And so, you know, I smoke...
All right, so this sounds like she's from Laguna.
Yeah, here's the deal, Casey. Here's the deal. Once a day for many people is a normal drive.
Okay.
You are attracted to addicts who are using drugs that suppress their sex drive, who defend them. What?
I'm just kidding.
She said weed is not a drug.
Yeah, weed, unfortunately, is one of the more common drugs we have to treat these days. It really is. It's a serious problem for some people. And it has a profound effect on testosterone and sex drive. And these guys defend against that by demeaning you. They go, oh, you know, you're just too horny. Your problem is they shame you into submission for having a normal sex drive to protect their drug use.
And to protect their like, manhood.
Their manhood, but their manhood is not as important as their drug use. Because that's what's screwing with their manhood.
Like, seriously, though, I mean, my boyfriends aren't like, well, I mean, yeah, they smoke a lot. They did in the past. I mean, yeah,
Casey,
I would say they smoke a lot.
Casey,
but I don't
see
them as addicts, you know what I mean? Like, addict, I think of a crackhead, you know, for addicts.
Casey, 20% of 20% of admissions to chemical dependency are for marijuana alone right now. It is one of the more, and for those people that get really strung out on it, it has a profound opioid effect, and it is exceedingly difficult for them to stop.
So what can I do? I mean,
You can go to Al-Anon. You can not be with these guys. I mean, you have a normal sex drive. They're shaming you for that as a way of pushing you away from making them look at themselves. This is not a speculation. This is a clinical opinion. This is what's happening here. And you can do with it as you wish. You can try to get them into treatment. You can get them to MA, get them to stop using, or get a new boyfriend. But this is not your problem.
Plus, dudes, the older they get, the lazier they get on that front, sort of, it seems to be. And women get a little bit more.
A little more, but for her to be, you know, she'd be happy with, you know, probably 4 or 5 times a week. And a lot of guys can keep up with that at 28.
Great.
And
28.
She'd be stoked for that. So these guys are really stoked. At once a week or something, which, again, is not necessarily abnormal. But for them to shame her.
That's whack.
That's not right. And that you sort of take that as, oh, there must be something wrong with me because my boyfriends are telling me that.
Yeah. Well, you're not the one with the problem.
I feel like there's something wrong with me because I want sex all the time, and then, like, I'm seeing,
once a day is, like, not all the time.
That's not all the time. The women that want sex all the time
are, like, fine dudes on the street.
Once a day, that would be fantastic. I'm not being greedy. I'm just, like...
Well, you don't even know. You don't know because you've never been at once a day. But the girls that want, the women want more than once a day, well, like 3 to 5 times a day, and those are sexual addicts, sexual compulsives.
Well, you know, that makes me happy
satisfied.
Then that I'm not an info. I just.
Yeah, your only problem is they smoke too much.
Casey,
herb.
What do you teach?
I don't want to tell you. My students might be listening on the phone.
All right, I hope it's not English.
No, it's not.
All right.
It's not. I'm actually a history teacher, but.
History of sex?
What's that?
Nothing. I was being a
all right,
smart
so and if you have a the only other thing is for you to be concerned with, you said you've not been sexually abused, you're not an addict, and the other thing is, am I bipolar? Do I have manic depression? Could this be part of a hypomanic thing? And you don't seem like you're that. And it just seems like you're just, you know, that's just your physiology, and these guys aren't keeping up with it. And there's a good reason they're not, and there's a reason that they're not willing to look at it and or try to step up a little bit, because they have a more important agenda to them, and that's their relationship with pot. That's much more important to them and their brain. Again, addiction is a brain disease where the brain starts believing that the drug is more important than other priorities in life. And it's not a conscious thing. It's just something that takes over the prioritization system.
Potheads are the laziest dudes on the planet, too. They just are.
True.
They just are.
It does that to their brain. It does.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
Linda, what's up?
Hi. Okay. So here's my deal. I use my mom's vibrator, and
did you wash it? Did you wash it?
No.
You should.
No.
Wow.
I mean, I know you guys are. You know, you come from her and everything.
So to speak.
No pun intended. But. You should wash it, just because, as a rule of thumb. I don't know.
All right, so what's the deal?
Or
just use your thumb.
So I saw that she had some, like, cream in her room, like, later for, like medicated stuff. And I didn't know if, like, I should be worried about possibly getting anything from her, like, if she had an STD or something.
What cream?
Go get your own.
What cream? Jeez. I know. Get your own vibrator.
Get your own vibrator.
What cream did you find in there?
God, I really wish I knew. I don't know.
Was it Metrogel?
We're going to need all the facts.
Guy Lotrimin? What was it?
I don't know. It's just in a white tube.
Could have just been yeast medication, or could it have been hormone medication?
I mean, I can.
She making bread?
What should I be? Like, what?
What should be what, Linda?
If what kind of things are, like, STD
cream. So if I next time I like give him.
There really are no STD creams. It's bacterial vaginosis creams, and that you can get from your mom.
But
you'll get discharged. You'll get a smelly discharge, basically. And if that starts happening, then you go see a doctor too. You guys are all class. All right, Linda. Taylor, why don't you give her that advice again?
Dude, get your own vibrator. I mean, come on. You don't want to share that stuff with your parents. I mean, that's messed up. Get your own vibrator.
Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders. This is Laura. What's up?
Hello?
Hi, Lauren.
Hey, okay, so I've been with this guy for 2 years, and he has been, you know, a great guy the whole time, best boyfriend I've had. I've never had any reason not to trust him or anything. He's always treated me very well. About a week ago, one of my really close girlfriends called me, and she said that my boyfriend had been sending her pictures of his penis and videos of him pleasuring himself over the internet.
Specifically to her.
So I confronted him about it, and he didn't deny it, but he had nothing to say about it. And so
well, she could show you these pictures, couldn't she?
What?
She could show you these pictures, right?
Yeah, well, he showed me, but he, you know, I was like, okay, that's cool, you know, it's kind of...
Hold on. Wait, you mean he had sent you the same pictures and videos?
Well, I'd seen them at my apartment because he put them on my computer and I'd seen them there. And the thing is the entire time...
This guy really thinks a lot of himself.
I mean, is it possible some of his jack-off, so to speak, friends have got a hold of these and send them around?
No.
Because you know, if any of his guy friends found that he was doing this...
Those things would be everywhere.
They'd be on E-Bombs World.
Yeah,
I mean, forget
for
it.
Sure.
No, because he told me he sent it to her.
Called him.
And 22. He told me that it was only... she's the only person he sent it to. But the thing is the entire time I've dated him, he's been, like, kind of obsessed with this penis because it's very large, so to speak. And I always kind of thought it was weird, but I never thought it was a problem. And I'm wondering if maybe, you know, because he doesn't have any reason he said he did it besides he said he was bored. And that's...
He's just proud.
There's nothing ever saying he wanted to meet up with her, was interested in her. He just wanted to know what she thought, and that's so weird to me. I just don't even...
Let's file it under, this is a problem.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I said, and he doesn't think he has a problem. I'm like, either you're obsessed with your penis, or...
No. The problem is that... Listen, every dude's obsessed with their penis. That's just the way it is.
So speaketh Taylor Hawkins.
But, when he starts sending pictures of his setup to your friend...
That's messed up.
Yeah. That means he wants to nail her. There's just no question.
Yeah, he's definitely thinking
about it. And by the way,
it means to me, my sense of that guy, it doesn't stop with your friend.
No.
This is going all... That kind of thinking goes everywhere.
Yeah.
He's up for whatever.
Trying to expand the business.
Yeah. He's obsessed with his penis, but he's obsessed with it going places.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of how I feel, too. And what
it's a long way to the top, and he wants to rock and roll.
So I would say, maybe this isn't the right guy for you, Laura. Maybe it's time to move along.
Wait, what did you just say?
Maybe time to move along. Maybe this isn't the guy you think he is.
I know, but before that, did you say it sounds like he belongs in rock and roll?
Oh, I said no.
It's a long way to the top.
I said it's a long way to the top, and he wants to rock and roll.
Long.
Get it long.
Well, that's my concern is that, you know, this is completely out of character, and I'm just wondering, like, it.
Then he has a brain tumor.
Yeah.
Then, which is possible. Something called a Kluver-Busey syndrome.
Maybe he was, schizophrenic.
Maybe something going on emotionally. But whatever it is, I batten down the hatches. Prepare for trouble.
Yeah.
You're
going to have to find another large-membered friend.
Maybe you should talk
to Cyclops.
Say that again, Lauren. I couldn't hear you. What was that?
I told him that I thought he should talk to, like, a counselor, and that I wasn't going to consider being back with him until he, you know, figured out if this was some sort of a problem, you know, like, because I know he has a problem, but I'm willing to forgive it just because, you know, we've been together for so long, but I don't...
How old is he?
He's 21.
And how old were you when you guys got together?
21.
I was 18 when we got together.
These things just in context, Lauren, are not supposed to last forever.
Rick.
These college relationships, they're kind of supposed to wrap up, and you're supposed to learn a little bit about yourself and relationships and kind of move along.
Move along.
This may be his desperate flail at screwing things up, but he's on his way, to me.
I'd say I wouldn't even think about it anymore and move on.
All right, kiddo. All right, good luck. Thanks, Lauren. This is this is Obsessed with Penis Night, I guess. Yeah. Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders is the band. The song we're going to hear is Running in Place. Tell us about this and send us off to it.
It's kind of, this will be good for the kids because they don't hear these anymore. It's kind of like, it's our ode to a lot of the bands that we listened to when we were kids, The Who and...
Four songs in one.
It's kind of four songs in one, like cool. Bohemian Rhapsody or That's Band awesome. On the Run or something like that.
Running in Place.
Running in Place.
You're still stranded there. You don't even care to take the wrong advice. You even take it twice. You don't even try. It's all in black and white. You're still your mama's son. Not even number one. Don't try and take it too far. I won't.
Hawkins and the Coattail Riders. That was Running in Place.
Some harmonies for you, man.
Very cool. Can they get this online also?
Yeah.
It's at TaylorHawkins.com.
Yeah. Thrive.
Buy the CD, guys. Yeah. This is very good music. We're going to take another little break. We got a bunch of interesting calls. We've had some good calls so far tonight.
It's getting pretty weird.
Okay. Here we go. Here we're going to hear, we heard about chili dogs. We kind of learned about that. Now we're going to learn about Jelking or Jelquing.
What is that?
J-E-L-Q-U-I-N-G, it says here. Thomas is going to tell us about that when we get back. Hey, everybody, it's Love Line. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders in here.
What up?
Goof around with you guys. And this, as I promised, was Thomas with his special act he read about on the web. What's this now, Thomas?
Hello?
Hi. Educate us.
Yeah, I was reading about, like, because I'm kind of worried about my size a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Small or big?
I was reading about, like, penis enlargement stuff. And small. I saw this thing. It's like this old technique. It originated somewhere, like, in India or something.
Imagine that.
You tie a brick to it.
No, not that stuff. Like, it's like these exercises that you do. Like, they said, like, you kind of milk, I don't know, like, it's like squeezing and a little bit of pulling and stuff like that. And I was wondering.
That's called masturbation.
No, they said it's more than that. Like, you spend.
Oh, more than that. Okay.
So it's, you get two things out of it. Size. Yeah,
like, what is your size?
It's about 6 1/4.
So that's normal.
That's normal.
It's like Play-Doh. You rub it and it gets thinner but longer.
What?
6 1/2 is fine, dude.
6 1/4, 6 1/2 is completely normal. In fact, it's the high end of normal.
Unless you're me.
Thomas, that's the high end of normal. Listen, that's the high end of normal. And if you have a problem with that, then it's not about your penis. It's about your self-esteem.
You have a Hummer?
The penis is just a symbol of your self-esteem. And if you're obsessing about the penis size when you have a large, high normal size, that's a psychological problem.
Do you drive a Hummer?
I drive a Hummer.
Yeah, a worthy substitute.
Yeah.
What's going on in your life? Why do you feel so crappy about yourself?
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going wrong, but I know my problems and stuff, but I mean...
What are they?
I don't really want to talk about them on the radio.
Well, nobody knows who you are.
I'm Thomas in Riverside.
Oh, now they do.
Well, everyone knows Thomas in Riverside. There's only one Thomas in Riverside. So, look, take care of those things, and the preoccupation with the penis will magically go away. The idea of you spending time working on your penis and not working on these other issues offends me. And the fact that you would go have a big operation and, again, leapfrog over these things that are much more meaningful is problematic in my book. There are good surgeries out there, but you don't need it. So let's move on with it. Anna.
I wanted to ask about, I have a friend with benefits, and, like, I wanted to cut it off, and I wanted to ask you, like, the best way.
What do you mean, cut it off?
Benefits?
Who is the guy? How old is he? What are the benefits?
Well, just, like, he's a friend. I've been friends with him for, like, more than a year, and he's 23, just fooling around and, like, having sex, I guess.
Having sex, you guess.
Yeah, we can't
sure
guess.
About that.
Yeah, we're not there with you, Anna, when this happens. We've never talked to you before.
Yeah. Either you're doing it or you're not.
We do.
And what, that starts to make you feel bad about yourself? Or are you starting to fall in love with this guy? Or what's happening? Why do you want to cut it off?
I don't, like...
Why?
It makes me feel like... Because I know it's not right.
Why isn't it right?
Cut off.
Horse, slut, bitch.
Is it not right for you because you'd rather have a real relationship?
Yeah.
Why don't you guys have a real relationship?
He's not up for that.
He's not up for it, huh?
Yeah.
All right, then here's how you cut it off. Stop going over there. And if he calls you over and say, you know what, I'm not up for this anymore. This is retarding me. I don't want to go out and meet other guys. I'm busy here with you having sex, and it keeps me from actually going out and getting what I want. That's it. He'll understand. Believe me, he'll understand. He knows what he's getting away with here. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So, I can't even be friends with him anymore?
No, I would say cool off the friend thing for a while.
Because every time you're around him, he's going to figure he's going to be able to take it where it's been. Because to him, it means nothing. It's just so much recreation. And so to be a friend, and for you, it's going to be tough to be friends. It's going to be, for him, it's going to be tough to not have sex. Give it some time, all right?
See, the thing about it is, your dude, you know, you're going to have to, you know, if you want to keep, you know, hanging out with the same girl and having sex with her, you're going to eventually have to talk to him and hang out with him a lot. And that's what a relationship is. And that guy's,
Taylor Hawkins.
And that guy's getting away with robbery.
He's got murder.
She
doesn't know it. Women don't understand what those guys. You guys know what they're getting away with.
Yeah, he's just
crowd.
Going. Ah.
And of course, the way he thinks of it is, well, she wants it too. It's a big deal. She gets something out of it.
She's all bummed about it. So she's
friends with benefits always is a disaster.
Yeah.
Not at the beginning. It works for people for a while, and it's always
the chick who's complaining about it, huh?
You know, more often than not, but not always. The guys get hooked in too, and they start to want something more, and they want to really lock it in. The girl's like, blah, 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 blah. It's not what I counted on here.
See, Brooks. I always just had girlfriends.
Yeah. Brooks.
Hello?
What's up? You're on Taylor Hawkins. Chris Chaney.
What's up, Taylor?
What up, bro?
Dude. Oh, my gosh. I'm talking to Taylor Hawkins, the drummer from Foo Fighters.
No way. You are?
No. Really?
What up, man?
Awesome, dude, I wanted to know, how you like Tama drums.
Well, I like them. They've been really good to me.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just hit them, and I break them sometimes, and they just send me some new ones.
Did Stuart Copeland play them?
Stuart Copeland played them.
Do you get drum sort of sponsors the way, tennis pros get tennis rackets?
Yeah. If you want them, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah, cymbals, too.
I just got one of the Superstar kits.
Nice.
Yeah, those are pretty.
Is it a newer one or an older one?
No, not the rock stars, the new ones.
Drew, we're definitely losing listeners right now. You know,
I know, I was just thinking that.
See you, bro. Hey, thanks a lot, bro. Thanks for calling in, man. You have a good night, okay?
All right, thanks.
Keep jamming, dude.
Good luck, buddy. Rachel, what's happening there?
Nothing. How are you guys?
Well, that sounds exciting. Come on, we need some life here. We're doing radio. We're rocking and rolling. This is rock and roll radio. Talk.
Well, I was wondering about, age difference, like big gaps relationships.
Yeah, what age gap we're talking about?
Are we talking like 15 to 48? Because
15
to jail.
21 even.
Anna Nicole, you know.
What are we talking about?
He's 36 and I'm almost 18.
Almost 18? Oh. Well, he could go to jail.
Yeah, he will go to jail. And
he's doubling you up.
Yeah, you're exactly half his age and he's an idiot. That's the reality here. I know he's an idiot because he's preying on a 17-year-old.
What an idiot.
Well, it's like a long-distance type relationship.
Oh, well, that changes everything.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So,
why'd you tell me that? Yeah. Guy's an idiot.
Right, it's fine.
Guy's an idiot.
It's fine. He's an idiot.
So it's a bad thing. We haven't done
Yes. Yeah, listen, it's not your fault. Here, this is what Taylor thinks about it.
He's an idiot.
That's what he thinks about it.
Even though he's a sweet, caring guy,
he's not sweet and caring.
No, he's a predator.
He's robbing the cradle, honey.
But he was really sweet.
He's an idiot. He's an a-hole. Stay away from this guy. All you know is that there's somebody older and mature interested in me. If you were also yourself at that age and you were looking at a guy that was courting a 17-year-old, you would call the sheriff.
But he was really sweet.
And that's no BS. You would absolutely be calling the police. You would retch.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is why people worry about online relationships. This guy you met online, right?
Yeah.
But Drew, what if he's like a man child, like Andy Milonakis? Is that okay?
Not okay. Even Andy would freak out at this.
Even if I was 18.
Even if you were 18, if you were 28, I might go for it.
It's just not.
It's not good for you.
He's robbing the cradle.
I don't care how nice he is. Let's just say.
He's a weirdo. You know, I mean, come on.
He was really sweet.
Stop it, all right? Stop it.
How can I?
Just stop communicating. Stop. The guy's a criminal. Stop it. Tell your mom. Tell your dad the guy's talking with you.
Yeah, you tell your dad about that, and it will stop. I promise you.
Okay, here we go. Here's JJ. What's up, JJ?
Well, hello there.
What's happening? You're on with Taylor Hawkins.
Oh, well, hello.
Chris Janey.
Actually, yeah, I am a stripper too, and I've got other things going for me, and I do it for the money, and that's about it. It's a job.
I know. You're killing
it. You're responding to an earlier
discussion a couple hours ago, yeah.
Yeah, because it seems like we always get like this negative vibe that comes off, oh, you're a stripper, you know? And I just think it's very unfair because there is a larger percentage of strippers out there who do it for the money and actually do something with their lives.
Like what?
Well, like starting businesses, going to school, taking care of their families.
We're not saying that we're generalizing. We're generalizing.
We're saying most.
Most.
We're saying most have got boundaries.
You're an entertainer, and we get that.
Most are trauma survivors, and most have substance issues.
How many at your establishment are like you?
I would say it is a lower percentage, maybe 30%.
Okay,
and
so 3%. Three?
So you're an exception, which is what we were saying.
So you have no history of, you never have been abused in any way or anything like that?
Well, yeah, I have, but you get over it. You move on.
Okay, JJ, magically, people that have been abused become strippers. Magically. Because that experience, that experience sets you up for these sorts of choices looking good and arousing and gratifying to you. But really what humans do is they reenact the traumas of their past compulsively. So if somebody sexually abused you, what feels attractive and good is to put yourself in a situation when you're repeatedly acting out that trauma.
Well, I wouldn't say that stripping is
almost like
an appealing thing for me.
It's almost like being in control of or completing the mastery of experiences that were terrorizing in a childhood experience. But in the reality is you end up just acting the same thing out over and over and over again.
Yeah, actually, I'm not really doing that, though. I really seriously do it for the money and to get me somewhere in life, you know?
Well, you're 34 now. Where's it gotten you?
Are you putting money away? I mean, do you have, like, investing? Do you own a house? Yeah. What are you doing?
I have my own business, and I have passion going for me.
What do you do?
I'm an artist.
Nice. Well, you know.
And that supports a house?
Yes, it does.
You're a homeowner.
Yes.
And by the way, I'm not saying you can't make money doing it or that it doesn't have secondary gain associated with it. I'm saying, and I continue to say, that magically that experience of trauma in childhood makes the choice of becoming a stripper much easier and appealing and much more of a reenactment of things that you've done in your past. And that's... It approaches 100%.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you have a relationship with a man or a woman or anything like that right now?
At this time, I don't. I don't have time for it.
And okay. Can guys hang with that?
I don't.
Can guys hang with the stripping experience?
Or what was the question again?
Can guys deal with that?
Would you be
it hard for you to have a relationship?
Well, I guess some guys would have a problem with it, you know.
Do you find
guitar players?
Do you find that guys have trouble with it?
Yeah, I have in the past.
Okay, and do you find that you have trouble being close and having sustained relationships?
No, I don't.
Okay. Have you ever dated a guitar player?
Yes, actually.
I knew it.
Magically.
And it was good.
Of course.
Were his initials T-H?
No, I'm not a guitar player. I'm not a guy. I'm a drummer.
That's right.
You're a guitar
player.
That's
the old joke. You know, how did the guitar player get to practice? I don't know. It's a joke.
All right, Taylor Hawkins and the Code Summarize. We have to take another break here. Thanks, JJ, for the call here. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be back with more you, more Taylor, more Chris, more me after this. Hey, buddy, here we are on Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Taylor Hawkins, Chris Janey, and now going to Natalie. Natalie is 15.
Oh, boy, God, don't say anything weird. Oh. What's going on, Natalie? Bring it.
Well, we and my sister were on the computer a couple days ago, and we were listening to this little song, and it's on a thing called Evolves World. It's hella funny, but anyways, so we were on it, and it was like...
Northern California.
Yeah, I was talking about Bukkake, and I was like, So we started singing the little song, and my dad's roommate, he said, oh, you shouldn't say that, you know, it's bad. And we were like, well, what is it? And he wouldn't tell us. So I was
what is it? Blue cocky?
Blue cocky.
What is that?
Chris?
I shouldn't know this, but I do. Because okay. I've been to Japan. Didn't it, like, originate in Japan? Or?
I don't know that. I don't know much about this. It's something.
We looked it up, too.
I think it's, like, girls who take, basically, showers with, like, 100 dudes who come on them.
Yes.
Something like that. That's, maybe not showers, but, like, they're just.
They're showered upon.
By a bunch of dudes?
Yes.
Like, 100 dudes.
Wagon the Dragon?
Yeah.
Weird.
So, Nell, it's pretty disgusting stuff.
That is. That's just disgusting.
So that's
and
not
on
a word.
So many levels.
I know. And you're talking to a 15-year-old.
You're corrupted for life.
So I would...
stay away from it.
Shame on E-Bomb's world.
And okay. I'm just letting you know.
Like, what do you mean?
Where's the...
Like what?
Oh, there's... Dude, have you seen E-Bomb's world? Yeah, I know you
I
have.
I guess I have, yeah, but I thought... No, I have. My kids go on it once in a while.
I like Raging Fred on E-Bomb's world. That's funny. Yeah.
The peanut butter jelly songs on that E-Bomb's world.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh, maybe I really haven't searched around enough.
Yeah, you better look at that before the kids get on there.
Really?
How old are your kids?
13.
Yeah, look at it.
Oh, dude. Oh, my God.
It's a scary world, dude.
Covers the gamut.
Natalie, what worse have you heard on E-Bomb's world?
Now we got Drew worried.
Well, it's not necessarily on E-Bomb's world. It's just in life, period. I've heard
worse. Like, well, that's pretty, what you just described was pretty bad. What's worse?
I don't know. There's a lot of things. Let me think.
All right, but you're
while you're thinking, we're going to go on to the next
one. You're behaving yourself in the meantime, yes?
Okay.
All right, take care now.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, they have really good herb up there in Northern California.
Yeah.
It's so easy, though, online to go to any, you could type, misspell a word and end up someplace.
It's wild.
You know.
Yeah.
Aaron, what's up there? Another 15-year-old.
Hi, I can't believe I'm on. Last night, I ended up really drunk in a park, actually, with this guy that I like. We ended up hooking up, and he was sober.
What does that mean, hooking up?
Yeah, hooking up.
Define.
Sex?
Just, like, heavily making out, and he, like, felt me up, and, like, I got fingered and stuff.
Second base.
Fingered.
Yeah.
Third base.
And,
anymore.
I'm not sure what he considers me now, because, like, am I, like, a random hookup? Like, he likes me. But he was sober, and I'm not sure if that makes any difference at all. Like, what?
Well, it means he's probably more into you than not, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's a better thing.
That's a good thing.
However, it's a bad thing in the sense that it's in the state of California where you are, it's considered a rape because when you're intoxicated.
Is it really?
Yeah. When you're well, first of all, even if the guy's 15 and you're with and you're 15, it's a rape. And then if you're intoxicated on top of that, you're not considered able to render consent because you're in an altered state. So it's a bad situation just generally. But the good news probably is that he's probably into you. And you can certainly, why don't you ask him online? That's one of the great things about the internet. You can now IM him or something and sort of send him.
Yeah, you don't have to get all that's just a really great thing, isn't it? That
yeah.
People aren't really actually talking to each other.
Right, you don't have to go eyeball to eyeball and go, what does that mean?
Yeah. He's just really learning a lot about life nowadays.
How would I go about talking to him now? Like, now that we've hooked up, like, would it be any different now, do you think?
Get on your cell phone, because I know you got one.
Yeah, just start calling him.
Just call him.
Just start calling him. He'll be into it.
He'll be stoked.
Okay. Yeah, okay?
All right, thank you. Right. I love you guys.
Okay. All right, we're about to run out of time. We can take one quick one here. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, I got a quick question. It's a really
very quick, like
better question.
Like 20 seconds.
For the B-side to, or whatever, the I Feel Free Cream cover, like,
yeah.
Who sings the vocals on that in the beginning?
That's me. But me and Dave both did it. And I actually talked Dave into, he didn't want to do the, we did I Feel Free by Cream.
Yeah.
We did a cover of it. He said, no, that's lame. You have to do it.
So he said, I'm lame, meaning his version was lame.
So. No, he's meaning that part of the song was lame, so he made me do it.
Nice.
And but we did that together. We had a really good time in the studio one day, just me and Dave just sat in the studio and did that.
Nice.
We had a blast.
All right, we're going to take another quick break. Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders. Be right back. That's about it for Loveline, ladies and gentlemen.
Aww.
Hawthorne Heights in here tomorrow night. Seth Green the night after. I went and saw the whole Robot Chicken production site. unbelievable. Just huge operation. I got to talk to him about that. Anna Faris from Scary Movie 4. Howie Mandel.
Wow.
Deal or no deal?
Wow.
Coming up later in the week. So, guys, thank you for coming in.
Gallagher's next Sunday?
Gallagher next week. Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders is the name of the band and the name of the CD. Go get it. It's a great CD. Chris, thank you for coming in.
Gentlemen,
it's been too long for both of you, so please come back in soon.
I enjoyed it.
Awesome. Great time.
It's funner this time than it was last time. I'm not going to say why.
God bless you. To the rest of you, good night and stay well.